up, people? Welcome to a brand new edition of the Eastern Lariat, your home for news, reviews, previews, show notes, and opinions all upon the world of Japanese pro wrestling. It's a special episode, so Striga's not here today. I'm your host, Dylan Fox, and this show is going to be a special one because it's all about two major shows that happened, and it's a special episode. I'm so happy to do it, especially right the day of it happening. It's like this show literally ended a few hours ago from when we're recording. So this will be up right away. Hopefully everybody checks it out. Tell your friends if they're interested in women's wrestling, New Japan, anything like that. But we got a Stardom show to talk about, and we got a Stardom and New Japan historic crossover to talk about. And for this show, as I said, Striga, get well soon to everybody out there. First of all, first and foremost, first things first, we gotta give him a shout out. He's in his surgery, but he's recovering nicely. He seems like everything's gonna be okay. He'll be back on a free episode very soon. We have another special episode coming up next week, but after that, Striga will definitely be back on as well. So shout out to him. Secondly, first things first, I gotta say too, because my co-host for today just brought it up to my attention right before we started recording, actually, but I'm recording with a little bit of a heavy heart today. I got a shout out, Jason David Frank, who just died this morning as we recorded. A huge influence on me. I know longtime listeners will remember my rants on Halloween. I went to Halloween dressed up as a Power Ranger, and he was the one I dressed up as. You know, I mad love to Tommy, the Green Ranger, the Black Ranger, Red Ranger. He was all the colors pretty much eventually. But shocking news that he passed away. And I just want to shout out to him because he was a major influence in me and my wrestling and my martial arts as well. Not that he ever wrestled, but I took a lot of from his martial arts. My dream, I've always wondered why Power Rangers and wrestling can't coexist more. But he's gone now, so I wanted to shout him out right away. Melancholy note to start on, but it's going to be a good show today, lots of fun to talk about. And to talk about it, I thought, man, who can I bring on to talk about Stardom? And I reached out to the one person that I knew would have my back on the show, the one person that has been on numerous shows on the Patreon, patreon.com/EasternLariat. So this is almost like a good show. It's a normal show we're going to do, but it's also a good preview of the Patreon stuff because we did a lot of stuff in the archives, and we got a lot more to do as well in the future, hopefully, unless he gets tired of me. But I would like to welcome all the way from the great country of Norway, Sondre Bjørn, making your debut on the free feed. How are you doing, man? It's so great to have you on.
I'm doing really well. I'm running on a lot. I've been awake really long, but I'm glad to be here. I'm really excited about talking about Stardom and New Japan.
Yes, that's right. And it's a crossover. We can't just say it's all Stardom because New Japan was on the show. We got some stuff to talk about on there as well. But, you know, just to anybody out there who maybe isn't as familiar with you, and hopefully they get familiar on this show. And like I said, we welcome everybody to come on the Patreon just for a lot of cool stuff. We got some Toyota reviews on there, written reviews, Toyota Tuesday. We just hit the famous hair versus hair match on there. I write all of those. I send the links to you on there. It's like, man, it's a headquarters there. We talked about me and Yannick from Switzerland. We talked about DDT's DO Grand Prix every single match. Stardom. I reviewed all of the 5-star Grand Prix on there as well.
With me.
You were there on the final show as well. Yeah. It was very good. I still regret because unfortunately you were at the, speaking of New Japan, you were at the Royal Quest show on there. And I regret that I never finished watching it. I let you down. I'm always going to be apologizing for it.
No, the VOD quality on that was not good. So I understand that why. even I tried going back and watching it, and I had trouble sometimes. So, yeah.
But you had a lot of heart for the show, and I really appreciate you taking the time to do all these shows and to come on the free show as well. But anybody who's not as familiar with you, what would you say your history with Stardom is, and maybe who your favorite is going into the show? What are you feeling on the company going in as well?
I'm a big Stardom fan. I kind of came back last year.
And Dragon Gate, too.
And Dragon Gate. Those are my two favorite promotions. And we have done the Patreon reviews of most of their recent shows. So you can listen to that on the Patreon. But yeah, I got into Stardom, to answer your first question. I got into Stardom when Kairi was in NXT. And I wanted to watch more of her. Or watch where she came from. So I signed up to Stardom World in like the Christmas break of 2017, and the first show I watched as a regular viewer was the Yuka Bito retirement show. So I've been with Stardom since 2017, late, very late 2017. And I kind of took a break early 2020 and came back last year. So that's my Stardom story. And yeah, my favorite all time is Kairi. So this is kind of the perfect show for me to be on the free feed.
That's true. What about this year? Who was your favorite?
This year, I can't lie, it's Tom Nakano.
Tom Road, we're walking down right now.
Yeah, Tom Nakano got me back into Stardom. I signed up to Stardom World again when I read in the Discord that the confirmed main event for the Budokan show was Tom Nakano versus Julia. So that's why I got back into Stardom in 2021. And, because I was a big fan of Tom Nakano before I stopped watching Stardom for a short while.
And she's really changed over the years from her original days in Oedo Tai. I mean, I think it improved like tenfold, to be honest with you. Just as a wrestler, I think she's so great and obviously had the charisma and stuff, you know, early on, like very early on, you know. I miss Pisan, you know, like, where's Pisan at these days?
Probably collecting dust at some, like, in Ross's apartment.
How dare you insult the legacy of Pisan like this? I can't believe I brought you on to say this. But, yes. But one day she will bring it back. I will never stop believing in Tom Nakano.
Tom Nakano.
Yes, exactly. So, very good choices overall, like great picks out there. Obviously, longtime viewers know that I'm a huge fan of all wrestling, including but not limited to Joshi Pro Wrez, which includes Stardom, which is right now the biggest company doing a lot of great things business-wise. I always talk good about them when we bring them up because they do a lot of good things, to be honest with you. It's very easy to talk good about them, unlike some other promotions like we talked about on Me and Striga show last week. It maybe wasn't as easy to come up with good things to say, but this is going to be an interesting show to talk about because we got the two big shows back-to-back. I will say one thing I think maybe could be an issue with Stardom, in my opinion, just as a fan, is that there's so many big shows. You know, it's like we had we had one 2 weeks ago with Shuri and Micah in the main event, which was a great match and like a very fun show. Like we reviewed it, you know it. Then you have another big show with the titles on the line, and then this historic crossover show. It's like all three in the span of 3 weeks. It's like I think if we spread things out, it wouldn't hurt things. And I get that they probably want to strike while the iron's hot. And who knows what data they have to support this, like business-wise. You know, if they're getting a zillion buys on all these shows, then who's to stop them at the end of the day? But just for me as a fan, I do think that they could spread things out a little bit more, overall. But that said, we had the Gold Rush show here, and we talked about this a little bit when we did review the show before Kenzai Stardom. We weren't, you know, you weren't as big into the main event going into the show because it was like, you know, Shuri's not dropping the title.
Yeah.
You know, which is understandable. Like, that's a completely correct statement. I mean, it proved to be correct, as we would see. But, you know, going into it, you weren't as hype on the show, but were you into it when you watched the match? Were you like, man, these matches, this lineup is so damn good that I just want to watch it anyway?
Well, yeah, of course. I will never go into a Stardom pay-per-view thinking, oh, this is going to be a bad show. I am always hyped for it because this year they have all hit. Like the last pay-per-view, the Hiroshima Goddess one.
Yeah.
That was good, but like it was predictable, who was going to win the matches. And it was also predictable, like, this show also was predictable who was going to win the matches. Like, don't get me wrong. But, like, every show delivers, even though we know the results, because the match quality is on another level in it, when it comes to Stardom. They have that to back up their booking. So that's because right now Stardom is kind of in a lull where they are waiting for the big year end show, but they still want to do big title matches in between. And I think that's I respect it and I like the matches, I'm not a fan of the booking.
And it's just, it's not like the booking, it's not like they're doing stupid stuff. It's just like I said, there's too many big shows to where you're having to have all these matches that, it's like big shows are not big shows anymore. You have to kind of, to read between the lines of what a real big show is.
Yeah.
And like what a not big show is. You know?
Like, they have evolved into like being not road to shows anymore, but more just a big stream show, like a show that is being streamed.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, it's like, you know, that's true, but it does lead to some matches like this where I wonder why they feel compelled to do something. But again, we don't have the business. You know, it might be a business decision or something. I mean, I don't know. But just as a fan, I agree with you overall. But it's like the year end show we know is the real big show.
Yeah, at the end of the day. As good as Utami and Shuri was, which, don't get me wrong, we know that was awesome. It's one of my favorite Stardom matches of the year and probably my favorite Shuri title reign defense. And still, I know that this all leads to Julia versus Shuri.
which
takes away some of the drama.
Yeah, and like I said, I mean, it's not like Stardom invented this of like having, you know, weak title challengers, because that's happened in every company throughout history, pretty much, where you'll have title matches that, hey, you know, so and so's. I mean, look at how many times Goto challenged for the title in New Japan. Yeah. It's like, you know, he's not going to win the title, but we can only hope that it's a good match on the way there.
But like Utami had a bigger chance than Michael did earlier this month, so.
I think that they were both at 0%. barring some sort of
at least like Utami is presented as a much bigger star than Micah. So
yeah, I mean, she's a real star, but to me that's like actually kind of worse than Micah, because like Micah clearly is not a main event player, but this is like her chance. Utami, we know, is a main event player, but she's also in this filler match. So like, to me, I think it's actually a little bit better if you're like a mid-card person getting a title shot, because that gives you a chance to like, and I thought that match was a great match. Micah and Shuri. I love Micah to death. She's one of my favorites. I think people are starting to take notice of her a little bit more as time goes along, and hopefully that match did help it a little. But Utami's already a main eventer. You know, it's not like she gains anything. I mean, this was a great match, obviously.
All of 2021 was built around Utami.
Yeah, exactly.
I am not a fan of them wasting, I quote-unquote wasting, but like wasting the Utami and Shuri feud on a match where we know that Shuri has Julia after it.
I
said that going into the show, and I said that going into the match, and I still enjoy the match.
The match quality is different than, you know, saying, oh, well, I don't think so-and-so can win.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, even the Julia and Shuri match, to me, there's no way Shuri's winning that match, in my opinion. But it's the story that it's such a dramatic story that's been built up for this long time that it's going to feel special even when Julia does win, you know?
Yeah.
Even though, like, I think pretty much everyone thinks that she's going to win the title, which she should. Like, it's the completely correct call to make. But, you know, it's just, you know, like, so it's not like this is a Stardom exclusive problem. I think it's just something in wrestling. But the problem is that it's going under a greater microscope because we have all these damn pay-per-views that are on here. That's the one problem I would have. Like, you know, if they ran their schedule, and again, I mean, they're more successful, so I understand it on a logic level, but I'm talking as a fan level right now.
Yeah.
If they ran their shows more like, you know, like how kind of like just scheduling wise, not even how they build the shows or anything, but just how Tokyo Joshi Pro runs their shows, where you have like a big title match, like every month, maybe like once a month.
Yeah,
I think that would be a lot better.
And some of them are in Korakuen.
Yeah, and
stuff like that. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Like I said, and even if you wanted to run the big shows, I understand. I just hopefully. You know, it's something we can kind of even out. But, I mean, like I said, as long as they're successful, it's hard to go against them pretty much, you know, on that level. But the like, show itself, yeah.
This show didn't need both a Wonder and World Stardom match.
And that's a lesson that I hope that they learn, that they can main event with these other titles.
Because I'll get to this later, but it was kind of hard to watch the Kairi match, and then watch Shirley and Tommy.
Oh, it was easy for me.
Yeah. Into more why later, but yeah.
Yeah. I can watch their matches back to back to back to back to back to back. I know that they wanted to do that. But yeah, you know, the show came from us, Osaka Edion Arena, 1,620 fans. Obviously, like, this is what I kind of say. You have to kind of read between the lines on these Stardom shows. Like, this was a quote-unquote big show, but really the big show was the next night. Like, that was the big, big show. And they just happened to have title matches on the smaller show, pretty much. You know, but it was still a good thing here. The show started off, you had the dark match, where it was Tora and Ruaka defeating Lady C, Miyu and Masaki, and team of Momo Kogo and Saya Ida. That we'll see more on these people later. What do you think about the young talent of Stardom in general? Like, because this is where we always kind of see them in these opening matches. You know, people like Amasaki, Ruaka, you know, like people like that have come in. What do you think of their undercard group? Because that's the one positive thing I think I had to say last week was with All Japan and Noah and DDT was the young guys that have just a great crop of talent. How do you think Stardom's faring in that regard?
Well, it's no Dragon Gate, but their rookie system is good. Like, I, in my personal opinion, Dragon Gate has the best rookie system in wrestling, but I will say that Stardom is doing really well right now with the rookies. I think Hanan, if it wasn't for the fact that Hanan has actually wrestled for, almost 5 years at this point, I would have given her Rookie of the Year this year, but she has wrestled for such a long time, so I can't give her that.
And that's the thing. I mean, if you count Azumi, who's younger than all of these Dragon Gate guys, like, the Stardom has the best one. Like, but she's been wrestling for all these years.
Yeah, but they have. But yeah, which is insane. I will say that of the rookies in Stardom, the one that, apart from, like, Hanan, the one that stands out the most for me is Saeeda. But that she has always stood out to me, even from, like, before she got injured.
What about, does Tall Saya count? Because she's another one. I mean, has she been wrestling longer than Ida?
No, she hasn't.
How crazy is that? That's what I'm saying. Like, if you look at the young wrestlers, it depends on how far you want to go. Because the whole roster can be considered young, to be honest with you. But among the undercarders, I really like what I've seen from Ami Sorey as well.
Yeah, Ami Sorey is great.
Yeah, they're like true rookies. Like, even Ida's been around for as long as Kamatani, like a few years now.
Yeah. I've kind of lost Ami Sorey as a rookie, but I guess she still is, because I'm so used to seeing her in, like, main events with Mirai, so...
Well, everyone in the Mirai universe is a main eventer, as well, so we have to consider that as well. Amasaki, she's kind of like the newest rookie, but she's still growing. I think she has a lot of room to grow to compare it to the other ones, but the talent level's so high in the company that it's hard, you know?
Miyu Amasaki, she, like, they have kind of built the new blood shows around her. I kind of feel like sometimes she delivers in them and sometimes she doesn't. And I don't think she's 100% into the wrestling part, because they have chosen her as, like, the gravure model.
Yeah.
They are focused on now. And I don't, like, if sometimes it seems like she's more into that than she's into wrestling. And, okay. Like, Of course, she is like, but what I mean by that is that she sometimes does more modeling dates than wrestling earlier this year.
Oh, okay. Like,
this is her first real big tour, in my opinion, mm-hmm. with the Goddess Tour.
Right.
Because she was not on a lot of the five-star shows.
That's true. Earlier.
Her team with Azumi is kind of like I hope Azumi can get her to a point where she feels more like a regular instead of someone that, because right now I'm still not used to her kind of.
Yeah, she's been up and down. I wonder if she has stuff with schooling or something like that.
That's good. Well as,
yeah, she's like 20 years old, right?
Yeah.
Out there. Let me check. Oh, look at that. She has a profile now in Cage Match. Look at this. 20 years old here. Exactly. Less than a year of experience. You know, it's like you said, the rookies, some of them you think are rookies, and they've been wrestling for a long time. Like, you know, young yeah. people out there. So
Miho Masaki debuted this year.
That's right. Yeah, for March. That was around the time of the Sumo Hall show, right? One in March, yeah. See,
I mean, she is still very, very new. So
yeah, and she's off and on, too, like, throughout the year. It's not like she's been around the whole time. She's been off and on, like you were saying. So maybe she'll be a more regular competitor going forward as well.
Yeah, I hope that that's where this 0-2 line tag team with Azumi is leading.
Like I said, Azumi is like the best partner to be with, because no matter what, who her partner is, you're automatically one of the best tag teams all of a sudden, you know, pretty much. And speaking of Azumi, what a great lead-in. That's why you're already showing signs of a professional right now. So it's Andre right now giving me the segue to the opening match on the card. From the dark match, you had the high-speed title match, which saw Azumi take on a non-stardom wrestler here with Momoka Hanazono, and she had she was kind of a wrestler for Caliga Pro, and you know, for most of the year, but wrestles all over. She's a Joshi freelance person. She wrestled in Colors, OZ Academy, all that stuff, pretty much. She's been in all of them.
A regular tag partner of Mei Tsurugas in OZ Academy. That's the only part of Momoka I had seen before this match. her and Mei Tsuruga in Oz Academy.
Okay, yeah, so yeah, Oz Academy, like Mayumi Ozaki's promotion. Ozaki gonna take a trip to All Japan soon, next month. So now we see another of their representatives, the current pioneer champion right now in Oz Academy, Momoka Hanazono here. And she took on Azumi, which, again, long-time listeners of the Eastern Lariat will know Azumi is the legend of wrestling. To me, it's in stardom. I think, like, legitimately one of the best wrestlers in any company. She's just in a defined role. You know, somebody was asking me the other day, like, when do you think Azumi will get a main event push? And I think that
Hopefully next year.
Yes, I mean, yes, obviously. In Dylan's stardom, Azumi is a main event player, like, already. But I think that the way they work right now, they have so much talent on this roster that, in theory, you could have, like, 20 main event players, you know, if you wanted. But that's just not feasible because there's only so many spots to go around. So I think that they're going to slot people kind of in specific roles, right? And I kind of feel that with Shuri, now that she's, you know, I think when she loses that title, she'll be slotted somewhere, not in a main event spot, but somewhere where she can contribute on the card. And I think Azumi's in this role as high-speed champion. They're going to need to give her if they gave her a chance, you know that she would kill it. You know, if they said, listen, we're going to have a 23-minute match with you and Julia in the main event, that match is probably going to be really great, you know? We have to see her. What did you think of this? Hanazono making her debut at stardom. What did you think how she matched up with Azumi, the high-speed champion, which is her role currently?
Yeah, this was fun high-speed action. It was very, like, it had some of the Mei Tsuruga, like, bits in it, which I loved because I'm a big fan of Tsuruga, and, like, her match with Azumi earlier this year was so good. And you could see that Azumi has fun playing with those kind of wrestlers. Momoka, like, did some of the comedy stuff that she's more known for, but it really quickly got more into the high speed, and I love that. Because I would not have liked this match if it was only, like, the Momoka comedy stuff that she usually diverts into sometimes.
That is true. You know, I think that Azumi, everybody should just watch, or like be like Azumi. Like, if you wrestle more like her, you're going to be a better wrestler at the end of the day. So you should do it that way. But, yeah, you know, I like this match. It wouldn't be a top end high speed match, in my opinion. But
yeah,
it was good for what it was. A good opener, got the crowd a little bit warmed up. And like I said, there's no combination that you could put with Azumi versus anybody that wouldn't end and be really good, you know?
Yeah.
So she's perfect to end this role.
I do want Momoka more in Stardom after this, though. I could see her doing more, like, freshen up the high-speed division somewhat. Her and Koguma.
Yes, we always be for Koguma as well. So I highly agree with that. Hanazono, yes, Hanazono pretty good. There's room for her. If they want to,
yeah, and like anything is better than just watching your wrestling colleague in front of like maybe 30 people.
But yeah, no, nobody should ever want to wrestle in colleague or watch it. So you know, like I agree with that for sure. We're gonna see if it happens, but yeah, I hope the best for her. She shows a pretty decent amount here. Like you said, the match got a little bit better as time went along. It has a 7.32 rating on Cage Match, which I think is pretty fair overall. So good stuff there. You had and then after this, you had the so they were doing this tournament deal that was gonna lead to the TLC match at the end, and they basically was like trios teams, right? Like three people on each team.
I have to correct you. It's called the Moneyball TLC match, okay? Because it had a lot of money.
Yes, which got knocked off at one point. It spilled everywhere. But regardless of that, we were talking about the main event. But who is going to compete for all of this money? Of course, who better than Julia and Tekla and Mai Sakurai, Donna Del Mondo. They took on the Cosmic Angels team of Meltier, Natsupoi, and Tom Nakano, teaming with Waka Tsukiyama here. So what did you think of this Moneyball tournament concept in the first place? And obviously this match.
It was kind of an out-of-nowhere concept.
Yes. It was completely out of nowhere, in fact.
Yeah. I seem to recall they did something similar last year, but that was for the Trios titles. I don't know why they didn't do this whole tournament for the Trios. I don't. Probably because Moneyball sounds cooler, maybe.
Yeah, I mean, didn't that movie come out like a million years ago, like 10 years ago or something?
Oh, maybe this was a tribute to that movie. True. Like, Waka and Mayu saw it while they were in New York. In the hotel room, and they pitched it to Rossi, and he.
That's right. Waka's hometown here. She's bringing an Americanized standpoint now to this, I guess.
Yeah. Too bad she didn't bring over protecting American booking. Because she, of course, it ate the pin in this match, and she got, her ass got kicked a lot.
Well, that's the story of her career, kind of, in Stardom,
yeah.
Pretty much. But, listen, she may not be great at politicking, but she is good at getting her ass beat. And we've seen that multiple times.
And commentating, which we're going to get to.
That's right. Yeah.
Later.
That's absolutely right. Yes, absolutely. Well, again, Waka, we determined, too, one time, is it possible that, like, Waka Tsukiyama could, like, run for president in America? Because I think that's the only rule. Like, you have to be 35, right? So
Yeah.
But she was born.
How politics works. But, yeah.
Me either, clearly. So you think she's bad at politics. I'm even worse.
Yeah. But, so, this first match was kind of nothing for me. DDM versus Cosmic Angels. That was pretty much nothing. Like, Waka got her ass kicked in the end, and that's all I remember from it.
Yeah, you know. But then they had the next one, which was the Stars.
Which I liked for.
Well, of course, look who's in it. Mayu Iwatani, Hazuki, and Koguma. They took on Tomoka Inaba, Mirai, and Ami Sarai. And yes, this was the better of the two. I definitely agree with you on that.
Because Mirai.
That's the main. I mean, not just her. I mean, look at that. Look at the talent you got in this match.
Yeah.
Iwatani, Hazuki, Koguma, Inaba, like Ami Sarai, good rookie player. Yeah, this match ruled. Like, I mean, on paper. I mean, it was good. It didn't, like, blow me away or anything, but it was a good match.
Yeah. And Hazuki, the great seller that she is, she actually got me to believe that Ami would beat her with, like, a Thunderbolt at the end. I actually thought that Ami would hit the like a Thunderbolt, but Hazuki, like, got out of it and rolled her up, which it comes to the point where I actually think that Ami Sarai could beat Hazuki, and that's just because of Hazuki's selling.
And I really like that, just to cut you off, but I really love the way that they booked Sarai from the tournament, the 5-star Grand Prix. This Thunderbolt has been so protected. I love the way that you've taken this kind of underdog wrestler on paper, but because of how they utilize it, it's like her secret weapon that she could like pull out and beat people that are above her stature.
At the end of this match, she was so close to hitting it on Hazuki, which if she would have hit it, she would have won. Hazuki wouldn't have kicked out. They're saving that kick out for a much bigger thing than the Moneyball tournament. So that was cool.
Yeah, and then Hazuki
shout won out with the
yes, and Hazuki won with the Hazuki Straw Cradle. Also, the first one I skipped over, but Sakurai actually got the win over Waka in the other match. So that set up our finals of the Stars team and Donna Del Mondo going for the money balls and everything involved with that. But first, we had some tournament matches to get into because we have been covering the Goddesses of Stardom Tag League every single match on the Patreon on the $3 and $5 tiers for all the fans out there. But first, we had a red block and a blue block match where, first of all, we had Black Desire taking on We Love Tokyo Sports here with Momo Watanabe and Starlight Kid beating Kashima and Fukigen Death. Yeah, you know, it was an Uedo Tai match.
Uedo Tai versus Uedo Tai. It wasn't just an Uedo Tai match.
It was
Civil War.
Oh, yeah, big match here, this 5 minutes. they went.
Listen, everyone has asked for the House of Torture versus Bullcup feud. Now this is the real one. Uedo Tai versus Uedo Tai, okay? 5 minutes, that's all it needed. I'm kidding.
I think that you're totally missing the point. What this match was really about was Momo and Starlight hate Tokyo Sports. They are weekly pro wrestling subscribers, and we're fighting for their honor of it, in my opinion. That's what I read from this match.
I felt nothing during this match. I think this match, because I run these watch parties in my Discord, where we basically just watch the shows and have voice chat over it, basically, which is fun. And during this match, everyone was just talking about random stuff that had nothing to do with the match.
How dare you disrespect the memory of Saki Kashima?
Yeah.
One of the best entrance themes.
Yeah. Oh, hell yeah. I kind of have to mute everything but the entrance theme when that happens.
Okay, well, that's a smart move on your part. But, the match was nothing. Starlight got the win, set up Black Desire for...
Yeah, so if Black Desire had lost this, they would have been out of the tag league, by the way. So they had to win this.
Right now, like the red block, you have in the back end, My Sakurai and Lady C, My Fair Lady. Great name, for the record.
Yeah. They're not going to get in wins. But,
No. Poor Lady C. on here, not getting any love. Even in the rookie talk, she didn't get any mentions on there. But we remember you, Lady C, at the end of the day. Tied for sixth is We Love Tokyo Sports and Peach Rock, which is Mayu and Momokogo. They both have 2 points. Tied for fourth is Karate Brave and Black Desire. They both have 3. Melt Here has 4 points. They're number 3. Mafia Bella was 6. And then Aphrodite, Talsaya, and Utami Hayashida team, they lead the block with 8 points right now.
A big lead.
Yes.
And I called them as the finalists. So
that's right. We got to give you props right now on this. You know, we're not going to take away good predictions. But by the way, can I remind you that I've called 5 tournaments in a row this year with all of them, since we're going to give out props to ourselves?
True. Right now? Yeah.
Anyway, the blue block had another match too with Mayhime, team of Micah and Himika. They took on 7-Up, Nanae Takahashi, and you. What'd you think of this match? I thought this was definitely the better of the two.
This was awesome. Yeah. This was such a good horse match. I think 7-Up is my like MVPs of the tournament so far. Because every match they have had has been fun.
Who is the one who tried to sell everyone, who spoke the truth about Nanaism? Everyone was hating. Everyone was hating when she had that red belt shot, and she came in, and they were not respecting Nanaism. And now look, now that we have the tag league with 7-Up, now people are coming around. You know, Sandre, they got to give her respect.
True. Yeah, and like she's having the time of her life in this match, in these matches. Like I don't think I've seen anyone like smile as much as she does during these matches.
She's an exuberant character in these matches too. She's like putting her all into everything. Like anything's going on, she's yelling and screaming out and going crazy throughout the matches. She's making all kinds of noise. She's a trip, man. I love Nanae. Like, I'll always be a fan of hers. I respect her as a legend, and I'm glad that other people are coming around to her. And this team of 7-Up, too. I think that they have a great chemistry together as well. Mayhime, definitely always a good team going in there. I think that they've had a good tournament overall. I really like their match versus New Eras, like 7-Up. I thought that was, like, a really good match, and this was, like, right on that same level, pretty much, like really good stuff.
Yeah, this was I thought this was the best match up to now in the card.
And, yeah, I agree with that.
And like, I think Nane and you have like over delivered. I did not expect them to be this fun to watch in the tournament.
That's right, Fox Road going against everyone's opinions right now, but finally it's paying off. with Nanaism here, and I think that they it's going to be interesting to see what they do with them outside of the tournament. I think that the faction really lets a sour taste in everyone's mouth, right?
Like,
the Neo Stardom Army. I think we were all kind of like on that, but just to see them wrestle, especially these two in particular, if they get chances to wrestle and have big matches, they're proving that they can deliver on the level of everyone. But I agree with your point. I think this was better than the first half of the card overall.
Yeah. Mayhime should win the tournament overall. Like, they should win the block and then beat Aphrodite in the final.
Right.
And so Micah finally actually gets a win over Utami.
Right.
Because they deserve it. And that's the tag match that makes the most sense against Meltier, in my opinion. And I said this when we previewed the tournament, and I will say it again.
Well, and you're welcome to do that. Like, this is your show too, my friend. You're on here. You speak with your heart. That's all I ask of you. I think that 7-Up would be an interesting tournament winner, actually. But with this loss, that's probably not going to happen now. just because I think that you give, I can definitely see Tom coming up with some kind of crazy Twitter storyline with her and Nanae, like an amazing emotional story. Like, I would love to see her craft with Takahashi. Yeah. But, otherwise, like, Mahime, in the blue block, you have Hanan and Saeeda Wingori. They're tied with O2 Line and Kawild Venus, although it originally was Mina Shirakawa, but they replaced her with Wakasukiyama, teaming with Saki, all caps. New Eras and 7-Up are both tied, and they're tied for fourth. FCC in third place with 4 points. Mahime in second at 6. And BMI 2000 at 8 with Natsuko Tora and Ruaka. They lead right now, although I think that Mahime will win the block ultimately.
Yeah. They will be overshadowed soon, overpassed by soon.
But I will say that I've liked Tora a decent amount since her return, and I was never a big fan of hers before her injury. I think she's actually looking pretty good. She's very motivated on things.
And I think this not to get off topic talking about BMI 2000, but I think this team with Tora has freshened up Ruaka a lot.
Oh, totally agree.
She has felt much more into wrestling this. Like, she doesn't, not that she phoned it in earlier in the year, but like, she feels so much more into it now than she did a couple of months ago.
And this is another case of like a literal teenager we're talking about right now as well. Like, she's a limited performer at that. Like, I think if you're just being honest about it, but in this team, it's like the perfect role for her because it really is like a totally a sister combination here. She's like a mini Tora in a lot of ways. And they fit together perfectly as a team. I love what they're doing with them. I think that they've been a really – and I had low expectations for them coming into the tournament, but I think they've over-delivered in general. But we had the next match, which was a match that I know a lot of people – like, this could be considered the true main event to many people, I think. Kairi, it was your main event coming in. Kairi taking on Saya Kamatani for the white belt, the Wonder of Stardom title, and you said it was your main event. And how did it live up to you coming in?
It lived up. It was the best Kairi had looked up to that point, in a return, in my opinion. This was her best match up to that point. I have to say up to that point because she has another match earlier today that surpassed this one, in my opinion. But this was awesome. Kairi came out in full Kabuki Warriors get-up, like that her team with Asuka in WWE.
I'm wearing your shirt right now.
One of the few highlights in both wrestlers' careers in WWE.
Come on, Asuka. Look at that. Asuka, even now, she just had that thing go viral against Io, where she was at that Japanese promo.
she didn't know that Io could speak Japanese. Yeah,
Asuka is a huge favorite in this household. Not just me, but my grandma as well. A huge Asuka fan. Asuka's been a multi-time champion, so she's had a legendary career. She'll be a Hall of Famer in American wrestling one day. Kairi, she was big in NXT, but more so in Kabuki Warriors, she was kind of like the secondary player to Asuka.
Yeah, but like, because she was in full Kabuki Warriors look, she kind of worked she worked very heelish in the start of this match, which was really fun. I've been waiting for that a long time, so that was really fun. And she was also really brutal on every move she did. Like, it sometimes it looked like she was gonna, like, she tried to injure both herself and Saya.
Yeah, you know, and I think that Kamatani was super motivated here coming off of the injury to Shirakawa. I know that that was an emotional experience for everybody involved. I think she was like, hey, I want to show people how great I am and, like, start with my best foot forward throughout this terrible thing, this accident that happened. I want to have a more positive future. Like, take this bad thing and bad feelings. Because she had talked in her interviews about having doubts in herself even. But she wanted to turn it into something great by the end. I think she was very motivated to have this amazing match with Kairi, somebody that we all wanted to see her have this match in August, right?
Yeah.
You know, so there was a lot of – this had unexpected backstory, and I liked that Kairi's role – in this match, because she came out with the dark stuff, with the umbrella that she had with Kabuki Warriors. It's like, she's a veteran, has been around a lot longer than Saya Kamatani, and a lot of the wrestlers on the roster currently.
Yeah.
So it works into her gimmick to play more of an antagonist character than her normal babyface, you know, like run that we all know and love, obviously.
Yeah.
Anyway. But I think that it really worked for this match, and I like that they made that decision to do that. And it shows you that Kairi's mind is really on point as well when it comes to wrestling. And when she goes off, like, she can be a badass heel. Like, you know, beat down Saya, like you said, try to hurt her in addition to win the match.
Yeah, as well. She was going so much after the knee that that Shirakawa had focused on, like, 2 weeks earlier. And, like, it was so fun to see, like, her, like, Saya did a great job, like, trying to survive her. And it was 30 minutes of Saya trying to survive and just getting out of there. and also proving herself, again, because of earlier this month, the freak accident. I totally agree with you on that point, by the way.
She wanted to prove herself.
Yeah, and it was really fun.
I like that she brought that and made it something good out of something that could have been a really devastating and bad thing.
Yeah. I felt so bad for her after that because people were way too harsh on her.
Everybody knows it was just an accident. You know, not everybody knows, but they should know it was just an accident.
I, in my opinion, this was the best Saya defense. In my opinion, I am of course a bit biased because Kairi, but I just in the last 10 minutes I was standing, and any match that can make me just stand for the rest of the match is a like certified banger for me.
You know, like. I think my one issue with this, and I thought it was a really good match, don't get me wrong, but I think that the time limit did hurt it just because there was parts of this where it really did feel like they were stalling. And by the end, I didn't feel that sense of passion from Kairi about this title that we would see the next night. Because basically they went to the time limit draw, and I just watched a match between, again, on the Toyota review series on the Patreon, where Toyota and Yamada had a match that went to the draw. That's a big storyline in the first years of their career. They had 4 years. Every match they had went to a time limit draw. And then finally they had enough, and they were like, no, we can't end it this way. We have to fight. We have to do more. And then this match is like, it's not even, it didn't even end at a climactic moment, you know, it was just, they were just kind of there, and then it was just like, well, okay, it's a draw, like, pretty much, like, that's it. Let me go wrestle my more important title match tomorrow, you know.
At some point in the last, like, minute, we all knew that it was going to be a draw. I was really into this, of course, so I always let, like, my how I felt while I was watching it live judge how I actually feel about the match. I don't know. I have only watched this once. So I haven't gone back and watched it again yet. what I remember from the last like 5 minutes of the match, I really loved. So
it was a really good match. I'm not trying to hate on it or anything. It's just like, to me, you know, I'd have to go through her title rank. Cause I mean, it's been almost,
of course. After the match, I felt like I needed a break and before Shuri and Itami. I needed like a calm down match before I watched the next match. kind of.
Well, you didn't get that.
Yeah, it's kind of weird to feel that way, but sometimes I just need to calm down after I watch a match because I'm so into it.
It was, like I said, it was a really good match. It has an 8.27 rating on Cage Match, which is a really high rating. I doubt it's probably our highest of the title reign, but I think that the people are maybe, you know, unnecessarily biased against the draw. But I thought it was a really good match. Again, I didn't love it as much as you, but I really want to praise it. It's like way worth going out of your way to watch, yeah. I would say. But I personally like the Red Belt match better. Like, just me. I thought that match was an incredible performance. I think Shuri is like, I kind of think Shuri's underrated as champion. As crazy as it is to say, like, if you look at this title reign.
Yeah. You're speaking to the wrong person here because Shuri is probably my wrestler of the year right now.
But I'm saying, I think that we're, like, I'm glad that you agree with me, first of all. But the general public, I don't think a lot of people, I mean, I think people like her title reign. Like, I don't think anybody's saying, like, oh, she sucks or anything like that. I just think that there's some people that maybe don't talk about her in the way. I mean, for example, like Higuchi and DDT's getting all of this love for this title reign. He's doing a great job. Don't get me wrong. And I'm not hating on him at all, but Shuri to me is as good or better as what he's doing, but it's not, it doesn't get talked about nearly the same way.
Yeah. She's the Yuki Ushoka. Little Dragon Gate. I'm sorry.
Yeah, maybe. Like, so that, I think, you know, Dragon Gate's a different deal, though, because I think among Dragon Gate fans, we all like Yoshioka. Like, think he's a great champion. I just think DG is kind of like this, you know, yeah. It's like a bubble.
It's the bubble, yeah. No, Shuri, in my opinion, Shuri has had a great reign. I think a lot of people that come on the, like, that, a lot of people that kind of underrate her are people that I think it's because she's beating everyone's favorites. She beat Momo, she beat Tam, she beat Mayu, she beat Julia once. she's beating everyone's favorite. And that makes people turn on people sometimes. That it's just a sad fact of life that if you beat someone's favorite, as often as she does, people will turn on you.
If Shuri's my favorite?
Yeah, and I understand that. I definitely understand that. But
except for Azumi and Mirai.
Yeah, I know that a lot of like Momo fans were salty and really mad when Shuri lost, when Shuri beat her. And I remember that was when I mostly started seeing like Shuri's title reign is bad, but the all that, and like I don't like that way of thinking. It's a kind of weird way of thinking.
Well, Momo fans are some of the hardcore, they're the most dedicated fan base among Joshi wrestler. Momo, historically, I mean, it's not just now. It's been going on for years and years. Like, Momo fans love Momo.
Yeah. I mean, I also wanted Momo to win that match, but she didn't.
And no, not me. Yeah. I ride with Shuri. Like, down with, I like Momo. I'm not going to say anything bad about her. Yeah. I actually have to say, I'm not a huge fan of Oedo Tai. Like, I think Momo was better before she joined Oedo
Tai. Yeah, she was. She was. Yeah. She was 100% better.
So I'm going to have to go against the grain on that one. I wanted Shuri to win.
I wanted Tom Nakano to win, but... I definitely still think that Shuri is the best women's wrestler in the world right now, in my opinion. And I don't know why people are down voting kind of her reign, but it sucks.
I don't even think they're down voting it. I think that, I mean, this match has a 9.41 rating.
Yeah.
Gazer match. So. And I mean, this was a great match. Utami's amazing. Like, Shuri and Utami are mega like responsible for a lot of new fans coming into Stardom. Remember when Meltzer gave that huge rating to their match? A lot of new people flooded in that maybe wouldn't have even given it a chance before, but thankfully they did because it was an incredible match, a great story they told with Shuri fighting for her mom, you know, like winning the title for her mom at the end of the year. I thought was a like super emotional, cool thing. The title reign is like perfectly built up to me to set up for Julia like overtaking her as well. So it's not like she's just beating the favorites for no reason. It's like it's leading to Julia's ultimate victory at the end.
Yeah. And like as you said, like Shuri and Itami last year, like that's my match of the year last year. Their double KO.
Yeah, and it was my number two behind this.
So like I know that people got into Stardom because of them. So that's why this match is very highly rated, in my opinion.
And we were talking about it off the air, like people kind of view these two as generational rivals, right?
I do.
Yeah, that's not really true if you look at how they, Shuri was around like much, much longer than Utami, but to most people it's similar to how Okada and Tanahashi were for New Japan, where it's like they're the main rivalry, even though they're not technically generational rivals, they are to the fans. Like in a lot of ways, if you came in because of them, it's kind of similar here.
And they always deliver. That's another thing. Every match is really good. So it's impossible to not, like, be hyped for their matches.
You tell me one match Shuri and Utami has had that it hasn't been awesome.
Oh, I can't. I like every single one they've had, so.
Yeah. This was a great match. Like, I thought it was, like, from a wrestling standpoint, this was a truly exceptional performance for both women, and I think that these two have both been great and will continue to be great on the next show as well, and especially in a certain person's case, and their entrance as well was really spectacular, I would say, on the next show. But I thought this was a tremendous, tremendous match. I think that but all the last three that we've talked about was, like, well worth going out of your way to see. The Mahime and 7-Up, then the white belt and the red belt. It's like, man, this show was rolling at this point. And then there was another match because we had the finals of the Moneyball tournament, the TLC match, which, I mean, what a weird main event.
let's think about this. Like, Rossi Ogawa, what a crazy man. He books three great back-to-back matches. And then he ends it with an encore tables, ladders, and chairs match with a mummy ball. I think he's crazy. I love him.
this match was nuts.
It was insane.
In so many ways. Like, so first of all, can we just say that the big spot of this was when Hazuki drop-kicked the ladder, which Julia was about to get the money, and then the bowl fell off, and all the money just fell all over the place. They were trying to clean it up. Everyone was like, oh, crap.
everyone was had a face that was like, what do we do now?
That was hilarious. Like, so funny. Like,
I think I saw the ref looking at Rossi, like, what do we do now? And I think, like, they just, like, call it, like, it's now for that half part, the glass part that remains in the lock. But yeah, this was crazy. To try and, like, run this down, like, this, to try and run this down, like, how, it's just, it's impossible. You have to watch it.
Yeah.
And when you watch this match, you will leave it. Like, I left this, and I will never criticize Mai Sakurai ever again, because, oh my god, she is crazy. Like, why do you go so hard?
Yeah, so this is a completely goofy, like, a match here. Yeah, she took an insane, like, went through, and she just, the way she bounced off the table, of course, the table didn't break, and she got yanked over into, like, almost a snapmare off the top rope into the table, and, like, the way her body contorted was just, like crazy. Like you said, what about the diet from Koguma, like to the outside, like off the left?
And it sounded like she hit something on the way. No, that dive. Okay. There was another part of where it sounded like Koguma like crashed into the ladder because it was like a loud thump.
Yeah.
But like the dive to the outside from the ladder was insane.
Like, nobody caught her.
Yeah.
Like she took this insane dive to the outside and it's like nobody wanted any of this.
Yeah. Koguma, so Stars won this, and so they won all the money. They are the richest people in Stardom right now, a pure chaos faction. And I think the money is going to Koguma, trying to bribe everyone else in Stardom to have another one of these matches, because she loves chaos.
I love this match. I thought it was so fun. Like, no, it wasn't a match of the year or a great match or even like an all-time great ladder match. But no. It was so nuts that how could you not be entertained by this whole
thing? You can't watch this match and not be a wrestling fan. It's impossible.
Oh, it was great.
Crazy.
Yeah, I loved it. I thought it was so fun.
It capped off a really, really great Stardom pay-per-view. That had no right being as good as it was. But it was an awesome pay-per-view, in my opinion, because of the last four matches.
Yeah, the last four matches. That's where I like the high-speed title match well enough, but watch the last four, and you will really be happy with that decision, I think, because, man, like the main event's going to be so memorable to me. Like, I feel like I'll be thinking about that broken and how at the end they brought back all of the money and stuff into the ring and they had this broken thing there.
And they looked like pirates who had just, like, gotten the biggest score of their life.
It was just ridiculous. Like, and
even Taya Ida, who seconded them, got a crown. And
good.
Let's go. Saida got a crown, so pay-per-view of the year. I said that on Twitter, but
yes, I mean, listen, if that's how you're judging things, who can blame you? You know, at the end of the day. But yeah, so this is a great show overall. And like I said, this wasn't even the big show, like overall.
This was the pre-show for the bigger show today.
Yeah, it still was a kick-ass show, and like with one of the most memorable and insane main events, and like a legitimately like two like great matches like for the titles beforehand. Yeah. So all of this was like just phenomenal stuff going on there. So with that said, let's talk about the major show. This is what really made a lot of waves when it was announced. They had a whole tournament to set it up. With the main event of the IWGP Women's Title final of the tournament from Tokyo Ariake Arena, 7,102 fans, the highest attended show in Stardom's history that they've ever had, and also this show did more fans than the G1 Climax final this year by 400 people.
I just want to say, in the same arena, they did more than Fujita versus Kaito. Kiyomiya and Noah. I'm just gonna say that.
Well, I mean, that's not even a contender. Like, that doesn't even matter. But the G1
did 4,000 more in the same arena.
Yeah, they probably did. Yeah, over double of that. I'm certain. But like, the G1, I think even if you're a fan, I think you could have been skeptical if I had said that beforehand. Yeah. But I've said it before. Right now, Stardom is sending messages to Bushiroad right now about their business success, what they've got going on, and it's only getting more and more as time goes along. And I think that you have to,
you see it because do you remember the G1 Supercard back in Madison Square Garden a couple of years ago?
I do remember.
Yeah. Do you remember the part where everything New Japan on that show was great, but everything ROH on that show was bad?
Yes.
This is the same way I feel about this show. Everything New Japan did on this show was bad, but everything Stardom did on this show was great.
Well, at least at this show, you know, Well, no, you had the U.S. title match on there.
Which I have thoughts on, yes.
Well, it's just like most of the matches don't even matter. It's like they're totally getting people on the card.
Yeah.
Meaningless matches.
That looks like they are mostly for the wrestlers to have fun. At least in intergender matches.
Well, yeah, no, those matches were different. Like, just the regular all New Japan talents, that was like a waste of time.
Yeah, that was a total waste of time.
Yeah, like, we'll get into it here. First of all, we had an all New Japan match. The Oscar Lube debut match, where you had Clark Connors, Alex Coughlin, Gabriel Kidd, Kevin Knight, versus Yuto Nakashima, Ryohei Oiwa, Kosei Fujita, and Oscar Lube. That was a match between the LA Dojo and the New Japan Dojo, pretty much there. So, I thought that it was a pretty good match overall with all the young guys. They were a little fired up being in front of this big arena. Obviously, the LA Dojo guys are more experienced than the Japan guys, but I think that, you know, they all have a lot to them. I think Fujita has a good future. Oiwa looks good. Nakashima, lots of fire. LA Dojo guys, it's going to be interesting to see where they go, but they're bringing in more people for their tournaments at least, so.
Yeah.
I don't know. Just an opener.
This was a fun Young Lions match. It stood out more than a usual Young Lions match, but it was also on the pre-show, so. I liked what I saw from the German Young Lion from the Fale Dojo, Oscar Lube. I hope I say that name correctly.
Yeah, me too as well. Like I said, if Stringer was here, he would start a string.
Well, I know that I'm saying the first name right.
Yeah, because,
That's a Norwegian name also. So
okay.
Oscar is a Norwegian name also. So, but the last name I'm struggling with.
Respect but, to Oscars.
Yeah, my cousin is named Oscar.
Shout out to cousin Oscar.
Yeah, right. Nice. This was the same cousin that marked out during the Shin Diamante versus Kung Fu Masters match. By the way, just saying.
Good.
The next match I was way more into.
The Rumble match. The Stardom Rumble here. This match was obviously like, you know, your traditional, you know, like New Japan's done these on the Wrestle Kingdom pre-show. They did one on the Stardom show as well with a very similar style of match. So you had in this match Saya Iida, Momo Kogo, Waka Tsukiyama, Hina, Ruaka, Natsuko Tora, Rina, Hanan, Koguma, Hazuki, Amisore, Miyu Masaki, Saki Kashima, and of course the mysterious super strong Stardom machine, all falling down to Mirai, all 14 competitors in the mud officially, put there by Mirai, the ace of all of our hearts.
Yeah, the breakout star of 2022.
Yes.
Hell yeah. I am so happy for Mirai. Getting that big win on such a big stage. Like, 1 year ago, she was, like, wrestling in TJPW and had no direction.
Yeah.
She has come a long way.
Oh, yeah.
I'm so happy that of how far she has come this year. And, yeah. I also loved that the sisters reunited in this match and had, like, a lot of fun. That was something that I was happy about. And Saki Kashima got to show the New Japan watchers what that she is. She does Toru Yano better than Toru Yano. So that's a good thing.
That is true. You had Saida come back in with her mysterious super strong Stardom machine.
No. Impossible.
That's right.
Those two wrestlers are two different people. Iida didn't come back in.
I'm breaking all of kayfabe right now. I don't respect the rules of kayfabe in Stardom. Not when Mirai wins. If she won, I would respect it. And if Mirai ever comes with a secret gimmick, I will lie and respect it.
I just want to say that I actually bought the Saeeda had a chance to beat Mirai Vile under a mask in this match at the end.
Yeah, me too.
I thought it would have been really cool if the one time Saeeda beat her rival, Mirai.
Yeah.
Because if you didn't know, they have like a mini rivalry going on. Well, they have had a lot of singles matches that are all good, but it would have been so cool that if the one time Ida got the win was while she was under a mask.
Yeah, that would have been hilarious if that had happened.
Yeah, but I'm also more happy with Mirai getting the win. So,
and especially with this finish. I mean, the best part of the whole match was the end. I mean, yeah. I like Kashima's run, too, by the way. I'm eliminating everybody really fast. But the ending into the Miramari Shock was freaking awesome. Like, Mirai is like the... We always talk about it. Our favorite match of the five-star, one of our favorites, was Mirai versus Suzuki with that amazing finish there. Mirai is like the queen of great finishes right now. Mirai is just awesome in every way. Like, you couldn't invent him. It's like somebody went to a laboratory and created the perfect Joshi wrestler, and then suddenly Mirai walked out.
She totally should have been on the main card. I thought she should definitely have been in a mixed tag, but I'm also...
They should have put all the New Japan guys in those lame matches, and like the all New Japan matches, put them in a battle royal and have Mirai face somebody in a match.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that would be awesome, because that would mean that New Japan fans would get exposed to Mirai, and that's a win. But yeah, enough Mirai hate. I don't want to ever say that. I'm sorry. I take that back.
I'm going to be handing out some of these Mirai respect forums that I've got right now. Like I said, for some of these haters out there who continue to be in
they actually still exist. I see some on my timeline still.
We thought they were extinct after the five star Grand Prix, but unfortunately they still remain. And we will fight the good fight on Mirai as long as we live on this. But will you fight the good fight on the House of Torture?
No. I have already given up.
Well, that's the bad fight. You don't want to be on the wrong side of history. I mean, can you imagine?
Yeah.
You know, but so they said, no, we don't need Mirai on this show. What we need is evil.
Yeah, let's open with the House of Torture match. Yeah. That was, yeah. Immediately when that happened, I said to myself, oh yeah, this is going to be a New Japan show. I forgot that.
Yeah. So it was all of them, like an evil show, Yujiro Togo. They took on Yoshiashi, Yo, Ishii, and Leo Rush, randomly in this match.
Actually not randomly, because he's teaming with Yo in the Super J, the Super Juniors tag league.
Why am I watching that?
Yeah, you tell me.
Nobody has these answers. Like, nobody can explain my insanity. Not even me. But, I mean, they did win. Like, they won with kind of like the three. They brought back a show in Yo's old move here with Rush. Yeah. No, the one. The 3K. That they pinned did Togo with. So I guess that means Togo and Sho will beat them in the tag league. Is that what that's setting up?
Only makes sense.
Yeah,
I'm happy for Leo Rush. I hope he's having a good time in New Japan. And I hope this run... I don't know. I hope this run is stable for Leo Rush. Because he has been dealing with a lot of injuries over the years. And... Like, he got injured during the Bola earlier this year.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Me updating you in this.
Yeah, it's not an area I traverse to very often, the U.S. Indies. Yeah. I try to stay away from this toxic waste zone known as the U.S. Indies, but...
Well, the thing is, Leo Rush has been dealing with a lot of injuries over the years, and I hope he can make it through this whole tour still healthy and good, and yeah, I hope he's in a good place, because he's been dealing with stuff. a lot over the years.
Well, I think we all, you know, nobody wants to see anybody get hurt. After all, I definitely agree with that. Like, hopefully he's okay. Man, but the match itself, I mean, it wasn't his fault. It was House of Torture. that was the problem.
Yeah, it's my fault. Yeah, nothing.
Yeah, exactly. So I'm not trying to point the finger at him. Just, not a great match, to say the least. But then we had the all-starter match of Queen's Quest versus Donna Del Mondo. You had Tall Saya, Saya Kamatani. She teamed with Lady C and Azumi. They took on Himika, Tekla, and Mai Sakurai. Just kind of like, hey, you guys aren't in these mixed matches, so have a match with each other.
Yeah, and I thought that they showed why you should watch Stardom, because this was a way better multi-man match than the previous multi-man match.
Oh, yeah. No doubt.
And I thought, especially, Mai Sakurai has reached a point that I actually bought into some of her roll-ups on Tall Saya. And I thought I was insane. But I actually, like, bit on them. I actually thought that she might have a chance to pin Tall Saya on the roll-up she tried on her in this match. But of course she didn't. Tall Saya won with 450, which I forget what she calls her 450.
The Firebird Splash.
Yeah. Some people in my Discord were talking about maybe she is moving away from the Phoenix Splash, and I really hope not. Because, like, their theory was that maybe she doesn't want to injure anyone like she did Mino Shirakawa, but I think this was more just her not wanting to use that on the New Japan show.
Yeah, I think that's the main thing, actually, is that it was like an undercard match. So there's no reason to really bring out your big moves here. But as a fellow 450 Splash user myself, Shadows Over Heaven, I have to really give her some props for the move as well. You know, there's nothing that endears me to you more than using my moves. So ultimately, like every wrestler, I am an egomaniac. At the end of the day, I make it all about me, no matter what.
Oh, yeah, the 450 is one of the best moves of all time from the top rope, in my opinion. So,
well, I think so.
I always pop on them. So, yeah.
And the Phoenix Splash is a good move, don't get me wrong, but it wasn't my move. So unfortunately, I have to favor that. But I do think she'll use it again, just in a bigger match.
Yeah. I hope so. I hope she didn't get afraid of using it after the freak accident.
It was just an accident at the end of the day. And she said something, I saw one of her interviews translated where she was like, she said something to the effect of, I'm paraphrasing here, but it was like, if I don't wrestle like I always wrestle, then I'm not doing justice to wrestling and the fans or something like that. You know, it's like, I can't change now or I wouldn't be me. Like, it was more or less, it kind of sounded like her point. But, so I think that she will continue, personally.
That's good.
Yeah, but up next we had the first of the interpromotional matches, where you had Julia and Zack Sabre Jr. taking on Shuri and Tom Lawlor. Filthy Tom here. Obviously, Shuri and Julia building up to the main event of Queendom. And Zack and Tom Lawlor, natural partners, pretty much. So what did you think here of this match?
This was so fun. I love this. When Tom Lawlor... he looked like he was having the time of his life walking down the ramp with Shuri. His stars glasses that was red, and the God's Eye logos on his pants were so funny. It cracked me up a lot. I think Tom Lawlor, he is really fun in this spot. And we all know that Tom Lawlor is a big Stardom mark.
Like, he should have been teaming with Mirai, who he clapped for. We caught that on camera, Filthy Tom. Don't think I didn't see that.
Well, he teamed with the leader of God's Eye, and he has officially joined God's Eye after putting the God's Eye logo on his gear. So,
okay.
Just saying. Tom Lawlor, an unofficial member of God's Eye. So that means he is closer to Mirai than both of us, unfortunately.
Well, I mean, maybe so, but as a wrestler, you think he has to have some honor. Like, just because you're nearby doesn't mean anything. That doesn't impress me. Maybe it impresses you, Sandra, but not me.
True.
Fox Road, right now.
But I thought that they looked like they were having so much fun. And, they quickly went away from the, like, mixed tag rules that only men are allowed to fight men and women. Because, like, Julia and Shuri, they were going after their men.
And they worked together to go after Tom Lawler. See, so it's an unofficial member of Tom Lawler, but look who turned on her, Sandra.
Yeah. ALK reunited today.
Yeah.
It felt really good.
And what a natural build-up to a title match.
Yeah.
To be honest, though, the match really came down to Filthy Tom and Zach, like more than Julia and Shuri, which I think is a good idea just to save up, you know, whatever you're going to see for the main event.
Yeah, and what an awesome, like, finishing stretch between Lawler and Zack Sabre Jr. I love that. Like,
yeah, they did.
They are two of my favorites in New Japan, so of course we all love it.
Yeah, and it was natural. I mean, they said on Twitter maybe a new team, Zack Sabre Julia, what could be the name of their team.
Yeah, Zack Sabre Jr. said that he aspires to join Donald El Mondo. So,
okay. Well, it makes sense, you know.
A goal.
Yeah.
A goal for sure. Zack Sabre Jr. is a true woman of the world. I agree.
But Julia also born in England, so kind of the same thing as Zach. He's also.
Yeah, I mean, that was the basis of their team.
Well, I mean, like, you know, like, look, you're not going to have, like, deep, intricate storylines with some of these partnerships. So, like, if there's anyone with any similarities, like, okay, like, I mean, this one, Shuri and Tom Lawler, they were both MMA, you know, people, you know, like, so we're going to put them together. Like, it makes perfect sense. And it did. It worked by the end. Like, they all worked together. I like all four of them. They're good.
Yeah, and Shuri in the backstage comments said that if they're doing this again, she wants to do the dance and she wants to be in denim next time. So.
Okay. I see that. Okay. I can get behind this if they do that again. But.
Yeah.
Speaking of the dance, let's talk about Cosmic Angels. Like, they were up next. Tom Nakano and Natsupoi, they teamed with Taichi and Yoshinobu Kanemaru. They took on Black Desire, Momo Watanabe, Starlight Kid, Doki, and El Desperado. So, stable match here
in Suzuki-gun.
Yeah.
The El Desperado, Doki, and Momo, Starlight Kid, they look like such cool people. Like, I wanted to hang out with them so much when they walked out that the double, like, Starlight and Destiny mask were so cool.
And I'm sure they would have a fun time hanging out with you if you did.
Yeah, sure. I would totally not be awkward, and they would totally not, like, shove me in the locker or something. But
no, why would they do that? Why are you wanting violence on yourself here?
But the best part of this match was Meltier and Taichi's entrance. Okay, well, first, Yoshinobu Kanemaru walked out with two whiskey bottles. Two sunrise. Not one. He needed two to deal with this. But Taichi, Tom Nakano, and Natsupoi came out together, and oh my god, I love their entrance. You cannot describe it. You have to watch it.
And you're somebody who's been hating on the Meltier entrance in Stardom proper.
Yes, because they sing to the camera, and they don't sing it well. They don't do it like Taichi.
How dare you? How dare you? Are you trying to tell me that Taichi doesn't lip sync on here?
No,
you're telling all kinds of lies on this show right now.
He completely sings normal. Nothing wrong with him. But yeah, Kanemaru being like the dad that drove his theater kids to the theater to perform was really fun in this match because he wanted nothing to do with their like stoic and idleness. It was really funny to watch.
And you say what you want about Tai Chi, but who's the one that brought the gift in the ring when Natsupoi got her own whiskey?
Yeah, Natsupoi got her own whiskey, and she looked like she hated it when she tasted it.
Yes, that was hilarious. To be honest, that was like one of the funniest moments of the show to me. Natsupoi, a pure-hearted individual, apparently, here, but yeah, the match was okay. Like you said, it was more about the aesthetics of it all and the fun of it more than the match itself, but
yeah.
I thought Doki did good.
Yeah, I mean, Doki does always does good. He's so underappreciated. So
not by me. I was one of the OG Doki respectors when he was in Mexico.
Yeah. He is so fun. I have always said that, so I've always said that ever since he came to New Japan.
And Tai Chi ended up pinning him, though, with the Black Mephisto at the end, so Doki could not get the win.
A fun part of this match was that Tai Chi and Tam did the same, like, Tam teased taking off her pants, but she couldn't, because that would, of course, take the show off air. But that was really funny. And then they did the, like, stereo... what does Taiji call his super kick? I don't remember. It's late for me soon. So,
but it is a super kick.
Like, yeah. And after this match, Tom teased wanting to face Naito, and I couldn't believe that she was doing the Naito thing. I think towards the camera.
Was it a challenge, or was it maybe she wanted a team with him because she thinks he's the coolest?
Maybe. I don't know.
That mean she thinks Tai Chi or Naito is cooler than Tai Chi? Whose side are you on, Tom, on this?
She is on Tom's side. She is on the Tom side.
That's how it should be.
Yeah. She wants to be on Tom's side. Okay.
Good. So yeah. Up next we had the highlight of the mixed tag matches, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Hiroshi Tanahashi and Utami Hayashi Shida taking on Hiroki Goto and Micah.
The Gotos.
Yeah, double, like, consistent, not winners. Like, who also happen to be amazing wrestlers as well. Like, they're two of the best in their respective companies and never get the love that they should.
Yeah. I loved that Utami kept giving the rose to a female fan gimmick when she gave the rose to Tanahashi. That was good.
Tanahashi deserved the rose?
Yeah. It was the first time Utami gave it to a man, I think.
Well,
I don't think she's ever given it to anyone else but female fans and female wrestlers.
Maybe she has more, like, now that we're on a New Japan show, she has to respect the guys a little bit more. Like, when New Japan around.
And, like, if I had a rose, I would probably give it to Tanahashi if I had the chance also, so.
Did you see the way she was playing air guitar with him?
She was having so much fun. She was living, this match, Utami was living her dream. It was so fun to see.
And what about the dream of me and having Micah and Goto win the titles in their companies? What about my dream?
I'm sorry, but there's still some hope for Micah, at least.
That's true.
Goto is over. That's never happening. I'm sorry.
But on the other hand, this was a really good match, though.
Yeah, this was really fun. Tanahashi did not care about the mixed tag rules. He went hard against Mike. Which I was so surprised by. Like, Tanahashi, at one point in this match, slapped Mike so hard. I was scared.
Well, like I said, look at the ray. That brought the fighting spirit out of her, though.
True.
Yeah, see.
But, unfortunately, Utami pinned her.
Well, yeah, the fighting spirit doesn't mean you win, it just means you have fighting spirit.
Yeah, I hope Micah gets the win back on Utami in the Goddess Tag League Final.
That would be great.
That would be great. One day, like, and plus that would mean that Mahime would win the Tag League. I want that so bad.
And then Utami did the Sling Blade on the Goto.
Yeah, that was good. That was so good.
How cool was that? Utami is awesome. Like, can we just respect Utami?
She was living the dream in this match. I'm so happy for her because she looks like, I said this before, but she looked like the happiest like fangirl standing next to Tanahashi doing the air guitar at the end.
Yeah, like in the, like did his moves, did some great things. In the end, Utami hit the Tower Hacker Bomb on Micah. I thought this was like a great match, legitimately. And the ending with them playing air guitar together was just, like I said, she was going nuts.
Yeah.
I loved it. Like I said, I loved all of it.
I thought all the mixed tag matches were good, but this was definitely the best one of the mixed tag matches.
Yeah, this was the best one for sure in terms of a match, I thought. And a little surprise when you consider the talent like in the match. But just the ending of it was awesome. And like I said, I'm all for like fiery, like, you know, less serious Utami, like more loose, you know, like she's loosened up Utami where she's like having fun, like at the end of the show with grabbing the Kairi's beer. I'm all for this. More air guitar Utami, more fun Utami. I want all of it. I'm a big fan.
Yeah, easily.
Yeah, so then after all of the fun of the air guitars and how much we love the show, like I love those matches up to this point, we got brought back to a crushing reality through the lens of the thing that I hate most, Brit Rez. As we saw Gideon Gray walk out with his United Empire of Francesco Akira, Kyle Fletcher, Mark Davis, and TJ Perkins. They took on LIJ, Bushi, Hiromu, Sonata, Shingo, and Naito. The best part of LIJ on the show was when Tom did Naito's pose, I would say.
I don't remember anything from this match except a commentary telling Waka to please stay away from Gideon Gray.
Oh yeah, Waka. New York born Waka was on English commentary for this.
Yeah. And she was so concerned for Gideon Gray during this match, and Kevin Kelly was getting worried that Waka was getting too close to Gideon Gray. So at the end, he just kept saying, stay away from him. Stay away from Gideon Gray.
Well, why was he wrestling? Isn't he a manager?
I mean, he wrestled on both the Royal Quest shows. But yeah, he's mostly a manager. I think he's gotten a bit over it with the New Japan crowd. So they have put him in these matches. And I think Naito has fun, like, stealing his stuff.
And they did a good job early on of them. Like, he was, like, taking, you know, all the LIJ guys were beating up Gideon pretty much early on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, like, it does nothing for me, so...
No, this was meaningless. In the end, they hit Pin Bushi.
All I'm going to say about this match is that I hope Aussie Open win the tag league. Because I like them.
Not me. Like I said, I hope they retire. Like I said, from wrestling. Like I said, get all of the British wrestlers out of here. Except for that Zach
Aussie Open isn't British, though.
Yeah, but they wrestle in England. That's enough. You don't have to be British to be a Brit wrestler. You can be from anywhere.
I guess.
Yeah, true. See, they may be Aussie, but they are open to Brit Res, and that does not make me happy.
Do you count Shota Umino as a Brit Res?
He was, but now he's trying to move on to a new phase of his career.
Okay.
If Aussie Open changes their gimmicks to something else, then I will accept them. I give them another chance.
Okay.
But they're okay, honestly. Like I said, but I mean, it's a tag league. Who cares? Like at the end of the day. But that match wasn't that great. Then we had Great Muda, and he is on this show for some reason, inexplicably teaming with Kazuchika Okada and Toriano.
This was the last Great Muda New Japan match, Dylan.
Yeah, but he'll be back.
It's a big deal.
Yeah, he'll be back as Muda. Like I said,
no, They are not the same.
Sure. Listen, whatever you want to say. But this is the build to my predicted Okada title defense versus Keiji Muto on his retirement show. Here, we're starting to build to that already.
Yeah, you're 100% correct about that prediction, by the way.
And who better to team with than another legend, Toriano, as the third member of their
hell
team.
Oh, yeah.
They took on another United Empire team.
United Empire, yeah.
Listen, they may not be British, but also Okan Kamatanari. Well, they're not Australian. Hanari, he's from New Zealand, right?
Yeah,
so none of these people are Australian, but they can all be Aussie Open if they believe it in their hearts here, just by teaming with them.
Yeah.
But I don't know. Like, I didn't like this match.
This match was another nothing match. The great Muto nowadays is just Muto in a mask trying to do really weird spots, and it's not doing anything for me. Muto is, like, this is his retirement run, so, like, I enjoy it for what it is, every match, basically. But it's the great Muto, and, like, he didn't do anything that's so different from Muto, except for the mist.
Yeah, and then Okan came back with his own mist later on.
Yeah. And then got pinned. At the end.
And then there was a third mist.
No, that was NR got pinned at the end.
Yeah. Muta ended up hitting the mist on Okan, but then, yeah, Hanari came in, but then Okada got the pin with the Rainmaker.
Yeah. This is one of my biggest problems with New Japan. This was all-time, these two matches in a row was all-time classic New Japan, get everyone on the card and phone it in, and thus slow down the card to a snail's pace. And this is why I don't like New Japan anymore. This is why I fell out of love with New Japan. These kind of like matches that just slow down the card to a snail's pace, and I struggle to get back into it.
No, it was a waste of time completely.
Yeah.
Like, totally meaningless. Like, no stakes.
And with the match time, with the entrances, it's almost an hour. So.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, a total waste of time. I don't know why they felt the need to do this, other than, like you said, to get people on the card. But at least the next match did have some stakes right here, with the U.S. title on the line. Will Ospreay? Yeah.
By the way, this match was the third time Gideon Gray announced a United Empire.
All three United Empire in a row, right here.
Yeah.
So, like, this is United Empire headquarters.
And
right
I did not like it. I was so sick of him at the end.
I'm sick of all these guys. just like I said, like, I want them all to go. So, the next one who definitely needs to retire is Will Ospreay, along with Aussie Open.
Oh, that's not a popular opinion. I respect you for saying it, though.
Now, I never liked Will Ospreay. Like, even when he was popular, I always criticized him, and rightfully so, and I stand by it here. But I will say this. This match was better than the lame matches that came before it.
Yes. However, this match was the bad version of the match I watched in London between the two.
Oh, you liked it better.
The match they had in London was better. Objectively, it was way better.
Oh.
I'm sorry to say it.
What have I missed?
Well, the match in London I got way more into. But, I mean, that's of course because I was there in the crowd. The only way this match would have been good was if Shota Umino won. And he didn't win. Like, at one point in the match, I thought he had, like, a chance. When he stopped his dad from calling off the match, which is, like, a story bit. Because his match in London ended prematurely. Because, like, his dad called it off early. And I really love that story bit because I thought that meant, oh, Red Juice is just going to protect Umino when he comes back. And, like, I thought that was where this was going, and, like, that the story bit was going to be Umino saying no, stop, and then win the match, but of course he lost. So, yeah. It was up to the point where Shota and Richard started doing that, like, will they call the match or not? I was not into the match. But yeah.
To me, like, it was fine. Like, in all honesty, it's like, Ospreay's fine. Like, you know, for his role in the card, it's like, like, he's the champion. Like, they see a lot of him. And he's going to have a crazy spectacle match. You know, I get it. Like, you know, it's fine. I understand all that. But, I mean, to me, in my mind, there was 0% chance Umino was winning this match. Like, I was waiting for them to do what I said they were going to do for months, and then they did it, like, you know, afterwards. So, to me, and Umino, to me, Umino doesn't have what Narita has in the ring, in my opinion. I think that Narita is a better wrestler, like, just in the ring. Umino has a better look. He has the connection with the ref and all that stuff. And he's cool. There's nothing wrong with him. But I think Narita, like, if he were in this match, this would have really showed out and had, like, this great match. And I think this was a fine match, like, better than the stuff we saw earlier from the All New Japan matches, for sure.
Yeah.
Like, but it didn't grab me. It's not anything I'd say, oh, man, I'm going to remember this at the end of the year. It was like, okay, this is pretty good. Like a 3.75 type of star match, you know, like good stuff.
Yeah.
Not bad, but it's nothing that I won't have seen 10 of on any random, you know, Stardom show, pretty much, you know, practically. So it was good.
The main thing, of course, with this match that everyone is going to talk about, the main thing about this show that everyone is talking about at the end, that in a week's time, people are not going to be talking about the Kairi and Mayu match, I believe. In a week's time, they are going to talk about the video package that happened after this match. And I don't like that. So after the match, Kenny Omega showed up on the Titantron. Yay. AEW fans are getting the match they have been asking for since the whole pandemic. I'm happy for them.
Yeah, so he basically just buried, you know, he was talking trash on Ospreay on the video, and he was all like, man, New Japan's really tanked since I left, and you were the guy they put in here. And then he was like,
I mean, which, objectively, he's not wrong.
Well, yeah, I mean, that is true. You had the pandemic and everything like that in between that maybe didn't have anything to do with him. But he was like, I'm coming back and I'm going to save the company just like I did the last time. And Ospreay said, yeah.
And, like, which is not true because he's still going to be signed with AEW. So,
And then Ospreay came and went back with a promo and he was like, hey, you left this place. I stayed, even when things got really crappy. Like, you know, so don't tell me that you're going to do crap.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm sorry if I'm down on this, but I am not I understand why people are really looking forward to that match and why everyone wants it and stuff. But I didn't want this to be, like, the main thing people are going to talk about on the show that is crowning the IWGP Women's Champion. It kind of steals the spotlight. I don't know yet how people are going to talk about it in this week, but I am afraid that Kenny and Ospreay will steal the spotlight from this show. Yeah, I don't know. I'm not a fan of that, in my opinion.
And, I mean, obviously they're building to another match at the end of the day. Like, their match is not for another month, so they're going to continue to talk about it.
Yeah, which is why I thought they could have done this in Corkin or any other show. They could have done this any other time. Did they have to do it the day they were crowning their first women's champion?
This felt like, to me, I mean, I've said it from the minute they introduced that title, that there was going to be political issues with it. This felt like a political move, saying, hey, the women can't overshadow the men.
Yeah.
That's what this felt like to me.
It bugs me, really. It really bugs me. I know that, like, the Western wrestling media coverage is going to coverage mostly that segment and not the Kyrie right. Maya match. And that kind of sucks, in my opinion. Like, not to be a downer. But
well, you know, I mean, the people are going to go for what they go for. I'm not trying to tell everybody else what to do, but for me, I mean, I would be surprised. And like I said, I mean, listen, Ospreay, I've never really been a fan of his. Omega, I've never really been a big fan of his. I like what he's done in AEW somewhat. I think he fits there better than New Japan, personally.
Yeah.
But I think that they've had great matches, even though I'm not fans of theirs. You know, there are matches you can point to that they did awesome on.
The match is going to be great. I have no doubt about that. I just wish...
I would be surprised if that match is better than the main event that we saw on this show. Like, if they're able to match out like that, that's better, I'd be really surprised. Let me put it that way. So, like, I think that, like I said, the reaction of it overall, I don't necessarily worry about too much because the fans are going to react how they're going to react.
Yeah.
And I knew that this was going to happen. Like, when they announced this match, like, I figured that Omega was going to either come out or they're going to play a video package to set up, like, their match. Because I've said it for months. If you listen to the show, again, if you want the scoops, you come to the Eastern Lariat, people. Like I said, I'll tell you what's going to happen before it even happens on here. And like I said, your point is totally fair about doing it here instead of on another show. But like I said, I think that was a feature, not a bug, to some people, that it was purposely done that way to keep like New Japan in the minds of everybody. Because I do think that there's going to be – it's not all sunshine and roses in this company right now about this relationship. I promise you that. And like I wonder – if that wasn't a thing. And again, I don't know for sure. It's not like Kidani called me. I mean, Kidani's probably the one that would fight for the girls to have more of a spotlight. But whoever's behind all this, like, you know, I don't know. But I do think that's how it felt like to me that, hey, we could have done this. What about the last show? You know,
they could have done it then. But they wanted the show to return first. I do think the best part of this segment was Will Ospreay's now deleted quote retweet where he said save New Japan, this dude can't even save his own company. that was really funny to me.
That is true. Yeah, I mean, he's not wrong.
Like, one time Will Ospreay is completely correct. Like, how can he save? Yeah, how can he save New Japan when he can't save AEW the last month?
He's not wrong. That's all I can say about Ospreay. Omega's gonna make me end up supporting Ospreay by the end of this.
Omega's whole point is that he's coming back to make New Japan good again, and like,
well, he's not gonna be able to do that.
that's a really hard task to do.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, he's not going to be able to do that. Like, so what are you talking about? Like, you know, Omega? Like, calm down on that. But no, I mean, it's an interest. Like you said, it's a match that a bunch of people wanted for a long time anyway.
Yeah.
So, and it's a big deal. I bet to a lot of people that are probably going to fly to Japan for that January 4th show, that's going to be a big deal to those fans.
Yeah. I'm as I said, I'm really happy for the AEW fans and the New Japan fans that won in this. And the same with Ospreay, because I know this is like one of his dream matches. I'm really happy for him. But like, I just wanted it to be announced on any other show.
and I totally get where you're coming from. But I think that,
it's probably just me overanalyzing the importance of the Kyrie and Mayu match.
I mean, look, this show did more than the G1 final, like with them in the main event. I think that this was an important show overall. The title, I think that's going to be interesting. I mean, let's just talk about the match now, the main event. We'll get to the grander scheme of things in a second.
Yeah.
Kyrie versus Mayu Iwatani, the finals of the tournament for the first ever IWGP women's title match. I messaged you a DM before the show, and in my illustrious words, match of the year or match of the year all years, was my thought after watching this.
Yes. I have now watched it twice. I watched it right before we started our call, while I was eating dinner, and it's my new match of the year. And I hate like always coming on the shows because I've come on the show so many times and said, oh, this is a match of the year contender. But this match, is probably like my favorite match since this match is my favorite match since Naito and Okada on Wrestle Kingdom 14 when Naito won.
Well, if you want to hear about some other matches of the year, check out our review of Gate of Destiny on Dragon Gate.
Yes.
the Patreon there, the $5.
Hear my long rant on how I felt about Yamato and Yuki Oshioka.
Yes, but this one...
I still feel the same way, by the way.
Okay, well, you're going to have to make some decisions here at the end. You're only going to be able to pick one here at the end of the year. For the Eastern Lariat Awards, I mean, I'm really interested. Yeah, you need to preview your ballot to me before you send it into Striga or whatever. I want some inside info on this. But this match, I mean, this was a match of the year candidate, in my opinion. You're totally right. I thought this was an amazing match. Again, it's like not just the wrestling, not just the moves even. They're able, and I think Kairi especially, they were able to bring a sense of tension in this match that by the end of it, it was like a modern update of the great matches you would see in your Noahs where it's like Hideki Suzuki or whatever. Like this was the modern and high speed Joshi style, the death defying style, Mayu, the crazy bumps. They added all that stuff, but they had the tension and that everything felt earned between these two. It didn't feel like they were giving an inch throughout this match. And there was a great sense of struggle throughout everything they did. I thought that's the sign where you're like a great wrestler, in my opinion, is where you can make stuff feel earned while still being in there. And I mean, they did everything. Like they ended up, Mayu hit a bunch of dragon suplexes here. At first you had Kairi kick out. In the end, Kairi went for her big elbow drops, but then Mayu kicked out. And when Mayu kicked out of the elbow, that was like when the match really elevated, in my opinion.
Two insane elbows in a row.
Right.
And Mayu still kicked out. Yeah. I almost punched a hole in the wall. I was so excited.
Well, please, don't give us property damage. So that's all I ask.
But that kick out was probably like one of the most insane kick outs I've seen in forever.
It was awesome.
It was so awesome. And... this was what I've wanted since Kairi came back. They're like the insane freedom, like match that I knew she could still do. And she did it. I was so happy at the end of this match.
I think Kairi from obviously she hasn't wrestled as many matches as a lot of people. I think if you just go by percentage, Kairi's the wrestler of the year. Like, all of her matches have been great. I've loved all of the tag matches. I know some people didn't, but I don't care what they think. The Kairi tag matches were all amazing, and she was great in all of them as well.
Yeah.
Like, and then she's proven. And the Saya Kamatani match was very good, like a great match legitimately. And that showed you that, hey, she is on this level, and you can't forget about her. And then you see this Mayu match where it's like, yeah, she, like, to me, Kairi, just talent-wise, is one of the absolute best wrestlers alive.
Yeah.
Right now, like anywhere. I think, like, she is the best wrestler. Like, you could argue she's the best wrestler on a roster full of amazing wrestlers. Like, you know, it's like, you could go 20 deep with legitimate candidates, and yet somehow, when this match ended, this stood above all of the other Stardom matches that I've seen this year. And there's been some great ones. Like, there's been a lot of great Stardom matches. And yet, she proved that she is up there and, like, one of the best wrestlers. And it's like, even Mayu. Mayu's a great wrestler, but she has not had a match this good, like, in a long time, like, in Stardom. And I think that this was, like,
And here's another insane thing about this weekend. Kairi had two great back-to-back matches in the span of, like, 30 hours, and she was injured.
Yeah, she had that ankle injury.
She walked into both matches injured. She wrestled. That's insane.
She is the female Goku of wrestling right now. It doesn't matter what injury she's got. But much like when Earth needs it, Goku's there for us all, and he comes through when it's time. No matter what obstacles he faces, no matter what injury he faces, even when he had the heart disease, he came back. When the Stardom world needs her most, and they say, look, we're having this major show, first ever crossover, highest number of fans ever attended for a Stardom show, bigger than even the G1 final for New Japan, they turn to Kairi, and Kairi says, put it on my back. She put this whole show on her back and delivered an incredible match, and once again, and Mayu was amazing in her role as well. Like, I love Mayu, and she's like one of the best in the world as well. But I mean, we've proven here, and I think a lot of people were surprised, because I was really the only person that I saw that had predicted Kairi to win the match going in. I'd see a lot of people predicting Mayu to win early on.
I think that was because of the SWA belt that she relinquished the title.
Well, that really threw me off, and I think that was great booking in hindsight.
Yeah, in hindsight, that was great booking, because that threw everyone off. I also thought that Mayu was winning this match.
Yeah, even before that, pretty much everybody had predicted Mayu to win that I saw, and then when she forfeited the title, even I was like, well, I guess she's going to win the title. Like, why would you forfeit, and why couldn't they wait to forfeit until after? And then Rossi said, Dylan, don't doubt me, brother. He said, let's take a look at what happens. And then it was great. It was like amazing booking. Totally had me on the edge of my seat. And when she won, that was a legitimate surprise. I thought the booking of the title match was good too, because she didn't win the title, but she didn't lose. So it was like perfect booking.
Yeah.
Everything set up for this match to go either way. And I thought Mayu was going to win in my heart. And before the longest time, I thought Kairi was going to win. And then when they relinquished the title, I thought, man, I guess Mayu's going to win. But to me, I personally think this was the right decision. Like, you know, Kairi winning. Look, I love Mayu, and she's amazing. Kairi is a bigger star than Mayu worldwide. Like, it's not even a question. Like, you know,
I mean, she was in WWE.
Yeah, well, exactly. But
I hate to say it. She was in WWE. She will. Yeah,
but you have to think about it from a business perspective. Like, Kairi's a bigger star than anyone on this roster. Like, at the end of the day. So, of course, she's the natural. She was, like, when I saw this tournament, I said, Kairi's the perfect person. If you're going to do it where you're. Yeah.
Or the international fans, she is the biggest. Some WWE fans don't know that she is in Stardom yet.
Well, they need to get a clue.
they need to get a clue.
Yeah, because they're missing out on some amazing matches. Listen, you don't got to worry about damage control. Go to Stardom, watch Kairi now with the title. This is what you want to see, people.
Yeah.
Kairi Mai.
So, the thing is, I love the result either way. I would have been happy if we were talking about Mayu being
that would be great. I mean,
both are perfect champions in my opinion. I understand 100% where people who think Mayu should have won come from, because I saw some people talk about this earlier today.
That to me feels like a purely fan reaction, not like a logic reaction.
But some part of me also feel that same way. But the Kairi fan in me is like, he's dancing right now.
I would have been fine if Mayu had won too. She's an amazing wrestler, like one of the greatest.
They both deserve to win. They both deserve to be the first champion.
Yeah.
But I also think that I think Kairi needed it more. Kairi needed the big crowning moment. She has not had the big crowning moment yet since she came back. She needed that big crowning moment that she's going to be on the I don't like saying this, that she's going to be on the magazine covers again.
Yeah, like Weekly Pro Wrestling, yeah.
Yeah, but she needed that. I 100% feel like Kairi needed that big moment to tell everyone, I am back. I am back. I'm 100% back. This was that moment. And like now, people must see that. Like having a title on someone means that you will that more people will see that. Oh, she's actually back. So because this isn't like her doing a one-off like tag, like that people can write off as, oh, she's just doing that for fun.
Yeah.
This is a title, like, and she's telling everyone, I'm back full time now.
Yeah.
Flip. I, like, of course, I can be proven wrong, but right now she has two matches in the next 2 months already set up.
Yeah, maybe not a full time the way, like, Azumi is, like, on every show, or, like, anybody like that, but, like, she's back in the fold. I mean, she's been sporadically back throughout the year, but like you said, this feels like a new gear has been hit in her career, or in her return, rather. They're like, okay, before she was doing her things, and I love those matches. I thought, if you just look at her wrestling, she was excellent in all of them. But now she hits that next year to where she's a champion, a major champion, and I mean, it just depends on what they do with the title. Will it be will it just be an international title? Like, you know, some people have already talked about it. It's been rumored to be.
I don't think so, because the first challenger is Tom Nakano.
Yep, that's right. I'm so happy to see that happen, because that to me is the worst thing that could happen to all of this. It's that they just say, look, it's going to be in U.S. only, or, you know, across the world. Like, this title should be defended on Wrestle Kingdom. Like, there's no question
and
about that.
It is being defended on Wrestle Kingdom. And also,
and all their shows, all their major shows, it needs to be defended.
Yeah. And Utami and Kairi are facing a Dream Kingdom no title, non-title. And I think the only reason that match is non-title is because they announced that the first defense of the IWGP title was going to be on January 4th. That's the only reason why Utami and Kairi isn't for the title.
Yeah.
But by the way, guys, just saying. I'm 100% sure that if New Japan hadn't announced that the first defense was going to be on Wrestle Kingdom, Rossi would have, like, made sure that Utami and Kairi was for the title on December 29th.
Yeah, but those matches should be just awesome.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm really excited to both.
Yeah, me too. I think it's going to be an awesome match up and down. Like, I think these two, Utami and Tom Nakano, are both going to put on some bangers with Kairi. It's going to really elevate the title, having her have these awesome matches. And I think that she's somebody like Kairi. Her future is going to be really interesting, like, going forward, because if you ask me, this is just purely speculation on my book, you know, in my book here. I think a Stardom Dome show is coming sooner rather than later. Like 2023, maybe 2024. Like I said, I think very early on 2024. I speculated on the Patreon show that they might, because they moved the Wrestle Kingdom from two Dome shows to one, and I speculated that maybe they would want to have another Dome show like right next to Wrestle Kingdom, like have Queendom and Kingdom right next to each other in the Dome. Like two different shows, but two sister companies back to back. I could definitely see that becoming a thing, and that becoming a new yearly tradition for Stardom. And when that time comes, they're probably going to say, look, we need a main event. The biggest star, who are they going to turn to? It's going to be Kairi. You know, like Kairi is who they're going to look at when they need a big time main event for a big time show that they want to expect things. Kairi is the biggest star, and the money matches are all with her. So she has a great future where everything she can do now, even if it's just once a month, she doesn't need to wrestle anything any more than that. She can be special that way and have great matches. I think that this title reign, if it were up to me, she's not losing this title in 2023. I think she needs to have a dominant reign, like elevate this title to a big deal. And like I said, maybe till the end of Wrestle Queendom, you could have her finally lose it to somebody in a major match and put over the next generation.
Yeah.
You know, that's how I would do it.
I totally understand having Mayu win the belt. I understand that also. Like, if they want to do that. But I also would prefer Maya with the red belt again instead of the IWGP, but
I think Mayu is in a very similar position to Tanahashi, like in New Japan now, to where she doesn't need any title, to be honest.
But like at the same time, she can anytime she will be asked if Kyrie gets like a insane injury.
Yeah.
I think that Mayu would easily step up to the challenge.
She's a great performer, obviously. Like just like Tanahashi in New Japan, he's still one of the best guys. But she's like above the titles at this point. You know, the red would mean more to other people than it does her. Yeah, at the end of the day, she in and of herself, I mean, they're making a movie about her, you know, and that's probably, honestly, that's probably where a lot of her focus is going to go in 2023, even in.
I think she might be, I think a lot of people are underselling how, like, she's going to be part of that movie. Like, if she's probably going to be part of the backstage production of that movie, but let's be honest.
Yeah. I totally agree with that. And also, even just when she wrestles, I mean, her deal will not be titles. It's going to be promoting the movie. Like you know, like that. That is her main goal in 2023, in my opinion.
And by the way, I need to just say the biggest part of this match, in my opinion, to get back on the match for a bit, was the like little like emotional moment before Kairi got the belt after the pinfall between them.
Yeah, yeah.
That made me an emotional wreck.
You knew it was going to happen. There's so much history between them that this is special on a personal.
Like you can see that it meant so much to both of them that they had that match and
and main eventing the biggest show in your history, like by attendances here, and in the first time ever for this IWGP title, breaking down barriers that a lot of people probably never thought would get broken down. Having a women's title in New Japan, I mean, how could you not get emotional, especially knowing their history? Like, it was amazing. Like, I mean, I thought this match was amazing. Like, all in all, I thought this was like an epic match, one of the absolute best we've seen from any company this year.
Now, the big question, of course, something that was brought up in my Discord after the show, was Io Shirai, if she actually had not, if she had left WWE, like was speculated earlier in the year before Triple H took over, if she had left, would it be her winning the title?
That's a great question.
Yeah.
We can only speculate because we don't know what's going on in her mind. You know, if that happened, would she even really want to wrestle, you know, that kind of schedule anymore?
Yeah, like, because we, early in the year, there were reports about her wanting to leave.
It basically came down to if she was going to get called up to the main roster or not. If she wasn't, then she would leave. If she would, and then they called her up.
Yeah.
Once Triple H got back. If Triple H had to take it over, she probably would have gone back.
And she was, apparently she was in talks with Stardom already. At that point. So the thing is, like, that's why people were talking about it earlier. Like, so I still think that it maybe would have been Kairi, but it also could have been you. Like, it's that, of course, that's in a totally another.
Yeah, we're just speculating right now. Nobody knows for sure. I think it would have been Kairi too. I think Kairi has more. I think she was a bigger star. If Io had never been on Raw before, then Kairi's a bigger star than her. Like, Kairi was on TV for years and for millions of people.
Yeah, Io was a bigger star nationally though. But yeah,
no, Kairi's a bigger star than anybody in the company, like in Japan or America or anywhere. Like, Kairi has a name value that, I mean, Io, you know, it would be interesting if she came back. I mean, I think it would be cool. Like, you know, we'd see what would happen. But I think Kyrie's a bigger name, like I said, for that reason, even in Japan. Because you got to remember, Japan has WWE fans, too. Like, you know, it's, the problem is, like, a lot of times in Japan, like, say, you know, New Japan fans and Noah fans and All Japan and Dragon Gate. They're all different, like a lot of times. So like Stardom, WWE, they're all different fans. So you would have a thing, and there's a big talk. I mean, we talked about it. This doesn't have anything to do with anything, but so Takeshita signed with All Elite Wrestling at the pay-per-view or whatever, full year. And a lot of people are speculating, like, man, this DDT-AEW relationship, what did DDT gain from it? You know, but at the same time, you know, you look at their subscriptions now with Wrestle Universe, and that stuff will have an effect. I mean, maybe not a huge one, but you're tapping into different audiences, and that will always help you, like, when it comes to your overall star power. Even if maybe, like, among pure, like, before they left Stardom, Io was a bigger star than Kyrie. Like, but Kyrie has much more cachet now because of that run in WWE.
Yeah, I see your point.
Yeah. But so I think Kyrie would have won either way, like, personally. But I do think I think Rossi liked Io more than Kyrie. Like,
as
well. So that is the one thing you could say.
Rossi is the biggest Io Shirai fan of all time. There's no other biggest Io Shirai fan than him. Yeah.
And there's nothing wrong with that. you know, I think it would have been Kyrie, personally. But either way, I think we're in a really interesting point, like, going forward now. Because Io is still in WWE, obviously. Kyrie, the champion. Mayu, working on her movie. And the company builds towards their new star, which will be Julia. Like, you know, at the end of the year, like, winning the title going forward. So you have now, and that's where I was kind of going with what I was saying earlier. Like, for that Dome show, to me, the biggest money match of any two players in Stardom or Joshi anywhere is Julia versus Kyrie in a singles match. And I think that will happen. It might not be soon, but I think that will happen down the line.
As long as it isn't a double title match, I would hate that.
Like, Kyrie's another one, but it's like, she doesn't really need the red belt.
Like, my point with that is that every double title match has ended with the other title getting devalued, and I don't want that for the red belt.
I don't think the red belt would get devalued.
Yeah.
Of the two. But we don't know what... We're still in the early stages of this IWGP title, right?
Yeah.
So we have to wonder, is it going to be an international title? But the way they're setting it up now, it's really gone back and forth. But the way they're setting it up, it feels like this could be a major title in Japan.
Yeah.
As well as international.
And I'm okay with either. Like, as long as Kyrie is happy, in my opinion. If she wants to do random indies in the States for the title, all power to her.
I think this will be on New Japan shows, like they come to America and stuff like that. But to me, that's the worst thing that could happen to the title, because then it's like you've slotted it as a New Japan Strong level title, which Stardom is bigger than Strong by leaps and bounds. Like, I'm sorry, New Japan Strong fans. But this title should be more important than that, in my opinion.
She is definitely going to defend it on Forbidden Door.
Why not?
That is going to happen. So, this is the early parts of that reign of the title. We don't know where it's going, and I'm really happy with the first defense, at least.
Yeah. And win anyway, but like I said, to me, I hope that they give her a really strong title reign. I think that she can set the stage for this title being a big deal, or it could be the stage can be set to where it's not that big of a deal. And I think that with Kyrie, they have every intention of making it a big deal, and I hope for that. I'm hopeful. Yeah. I'm cautiously optimistic.
I just hope that New Japan doesn't lose interest in it. I just hope that, like, New Japan keeps having it on the big shows, that they keep promoting it. Like, I don't want this title to be, like, devalued to look like the NEVER title.
More shows like this, and I think they won't lose interest.
But what my point is, this title should always, like, main event over the NEVER title. And definitely the tag titles. And arguably over the US title sometimes. So
yeah, I mean, I totally agree. Like I said, you know, you build a show around the NEVER title, you're not outdrawing the G1 final. Like, you know, like that's just reality. Like I said, as long as the fans ride with it, they won't lose interest. Like, I don't think Kidani will let us. He showed me a lot in that interview. Like, and to make this title happen, I'm sure had to go through all kinds of hoops to even get this passed through, pretty much.
And let's hope Obari remembers our conversation in London when I told him that Mirai should win stuff, and he agreed with me. Well, let's hope Obari remembers that and starts pitching Mirai to beat Kairi.
that's the dream. Like, have a year-long title reign, and then Mirai wins it in Wrestle Kingdom next year, and that will be and a new superstar will be born. But regardless, I think this show has to be considered. I didn't like the New Japan parts either. And yeah. I mean, the U.S. title was fine. Like, I mean, it wasn't a bad match, you know. But I was mainly just waiting on to see Omega come out and, like, set up that match. The other matches, I totally were a waste of time, in my opinion. But the mixed matches and the main event, this has to be considered a success, both business-wise, but also just as a fan, I think was a really good show. And the main event was so... I'll remember this main event for a long time. Like, I think a really special match, up and down.
Yeah, I definitely think that this was the most enjoyable New Japan branded show this year, in my opinion. I'm going to get hate for that.
No, it was a major show, like, and it was a special one, you know.
Yeah,
I think that. You know, of the New Japan shows, I mean, you got some good New Japan Cup shows, maybe some good G1 shows, but they were never really special until this one. You know, like, this one felt special overall. So, like...
And unique.
Yeah, very unique show as well. That's something you need. That's what I said. Like, I said it on a couple episodes back, that I kind of like New Japan lately, even though I know a lot of people talked about that Carl Anderson crap. Like, I like that they're doing different stuff with that and the...
Man, we went almost 2 hours and then Carl Anderson got brought up. Like, couldn't we have gone to the end of the show without mentioning it?
but it's good. Like, it's a successful thing that they're doing something different. I mean, it's not good in terms of quality. It's just good that they're doing something different. And then you had the women's title that came up and the show. So it's like, I like that they're doing all kinds of different stuff that in years past that they wouldn't normally do. At the end of the day. And I think that that's a great thing for them. I think some people are coming in. Maybe Obari is responsible for some of that. I mean, we don't know the particulars, but we do know that they're doing different things that they've done in the past. And I think that's a great thing for the company overall.
Yeah. I was worried when I went to London and they have one women's match like they had was Alpha Female versus Dieva. And that was terrible. That was, I got really, really bad vibes about this title when that match happened. And luckily they have moved away from Alpha Female.
Like, and the other one's like a rookie, basically.
Yeah.
I
also never want to see Alpha Female challenge for the title. Like, don't do that. That would be a nail in the coffin.
Well, I think the title is great right now in a good spot. It all comes with the follow-up, as is everything in wrestling.
Yeah.
Alpha Female, I mean, I don't know. Like I said, they already had their match anyway. I don't think that'll happen, to be honest. I think we're going to see big name. Like, this title for Stardom and for New Japan, it's going to be big names up and down, I feel like.
Hopefully.
But great shows, both of them. I think were really cool, like both unique, both stood on their own. Would highly recommend watching them. And I just love that we're getting major matches and major shows with Stardom and a Joshi Pro Wrestling company. Because, you know, I was there when the Dark Ages were going on, and I never thought that this would be possible, where you would see this kind of thing. But I love what they're bringing to the table right now, the company-wide, the big shows. I'm so happy that you came on, Sondre, to talk about them. And we could do a show for all the fans out there.
Yeah, I'm so happy to be a part of it. It was really fun. I always wanted to join for Stardom Talk, so I it's kind of like something that I want to do more and more, and it's really fun to do it, and I love doing it with you especially.
Well, thank you. I love doing it with you too, Sandre. Hopefully the fans enjoyed it. I said debut on the regular show. Check out our Patreon, patreon.com/EasternLariat, if you want to hear more of Sandre. He's always on for the Stardom Talk, some Dragon Gate. It's a lot of fun.
Oh, yeah. I was just going to say, I'm probably going to be back in December for the Dragon Gate shows in December.
That's absolutely right, brother, and I can't wait for it. It's going to be a lot of fun. We've been high on Dragon Gate 2 lately. They've been a very good company as well. So really looking forward to see what they do there. We got a Queendom coming up as well next month, so who knows where the world of Japanese pro wrestling will take us. But until then, like I said, where can everybody find you online, Sandre?
Online, I'm on Twitter at Sandre Bjørn. It's easy to spell. It's just Sandre Bjørn. And I also run a Discord. You can find that Discord by DMing me on Twitter. I just need to shout out that Discord because this weekend we had two great watch-alongs to both these shows, and the live chat was amazing for that. It's so much fun watching it with the Discord, and I just needed to shout it out because it's a great community, and I'm really proud that I built it.
See, there you go. You're doing good things for the world of Joshi, for the world of pro wrestling, and the world of the fans as well.
Yeah. And also, shout out. Please watch Sendai Girls' Maika Iwata versus Sayori Ano from today's show. It was early in the morning, but it was really good. And yeah, it's going to be completely overshadowed by the other shows this weekend. Everyone should watch that match. It was really fun.
Yeah, you know, Maika Iwata, I remember when she was just a young wrestler coming in there. She had a match 3 months into her career against Kairi. That was like the first example of like a black attire Kairi that we had, where she wore the all black, the heel stuff. And wow,
I did not know that match happened. I need to watch that.
And it was amazing. Like, Iwata, 3 months into her career, Kairi just beat the hell out of her, was yawning, making it look like it was too easy, and then hit a back fist and just broke her nose, legitimately. Like, wow. In the match. It was an amazing rookie match. That
sounds like a completely me match. I would love that.
It was legitimately one of the best rookie matches I could ever remember. It was Kairi Hojo versus Miki Iwata. So, yes, watch Ano and Iwata.
Yeah, I just had to shout that out because it's going to be overshadowed. So,
hey, don't forget Kohaku as well.
Like, yeah, she's also on that show, and she had a good match on that show also.
Yes, the original Kohaku respecter around here, like when Mikoto Shindo, I was the one who created her on Fire Pro World. I was the first one, and you can never take it away from me. regardless of all that, hopefully you guys enjoyed the show. I love talking about Stardom and Joshi in general. I'm so happy we got the chance to do a Joshi-focused episode today. Thank you, Sandre, for coming on. Thank you guys for listening. Check out the Patreon. Check out our Twitter at Eastern Lariat. You can find me at Viva_0. Shout out to all the fans of Japanese pro wrestling everywhere, and especially Joshi pro wrestling. Please continue to support it. Support all the wrestlers, because whether it's Kairi, Mayu, Shuri, Julia, Utami, Mirai, Azumi, all the rest, they're all great. And all the ones from the other companies as well are all tremendous talents up and down. So great scene, burgeoning scene up and down. Watch the companies from Sendai as well. You know, you got Mika Iwata, Chihiro Hashimoto, Dash Chisako. Like, tons of great wrestlers freelancing all over the place. Great time. So support it all. Support the Eastern Lariat and have fun with your wrestling. And hopefully you guys support and continue to tune into the show. Cannot wait to see you next week. There's going to be a special show. I recorded with Fumi Saito again, talking about a bunch of promotions in the modern era. It's going to be a lot different coming into next week's show than the first one we did in April. That was an amazing show too, talking about Sumo Hall. But cannot wait for you guys to hear it. First part of it, hopefully we can do another one. In fact, I'm going to really try hard to have another one very soon as well. And then next month in December, Striga's coming back. It's going to be a lot of fun. We're heading into year-end award season. Going to be a lot of fun. So keep your eyes peeled on the Twitter especially. I promise we're going to put the ballot, not the ballot, but whatever you call it, the forum, however you want to put it in. Striga will do it. Actually, Flosh is the one that put it in. So shout out to Flosh, wherever you are. shout out to all the fans. Thank you guys so much for everything. And until next time, you know I love you. Sayonara.
This is David Nick. Listen to the beat. Bring a party out, talking yo, what a red red. Bring a party out, what a black guy.
Emerald, let's take it.